team. Welcome to the Escape Podcast for Star Wars The Old Republic. This episode, you'll hear news about patch 2.4.2, and we'll open a holocron segment with a guest this week discussing the foundations of tanking, and maybe you'll find out if you are able to summon a companion while in an operations group. As usual, we have an astromech standing by to record this and spin through space to get this broadcast to you. All set, EPC-10? What's that? You get dizzy when you're spinning around? Well, here, let me just yank out your little... Ah, there you go. That should help you out. Oh, you can't tell which way is up now? All right, no problem. There's really no up in space, so you should be just fine. All right. Hi, Seema. How are you?
Hi, Max.
And hi, Brewdog, who is our guest today, who is one of the operation tanks on our Lords of Light operations team. How you doing, Brew?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing excellent. Doing excellent.
Better than EPC, I think.
EPC 10? Yeah, he'll be just fine. There,
he'll be fine.
I took out another chunk. He's got that restraining bolt is disengaged. So as we kick it off, as per usual, Brew, what have you been up to this week?
I'll leave the op stuff up to you guys, but I've been playing alts actually a fair amount. I've been working on my smuggler and my sage. And as part of that, I actually hit Legacy 50 this week. So that's...
Oh, great.
Kind of a big deal. So now we can skip all trash.
That's
now.
Awesome.
No more trash bowls. I won't pull all the rooms anymore.
Because we were only doing that for Legacy points.
Correct. Yeah, it's been fun getting through the storyline. So now I'm almost done. Both are on Corellia. So just a little bit left for both of those. And then I'll be on to... Only class I'll have left is Warrior. I haven't completed.
It's nice. And what about you, Seema? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been up to basically ops, and more ops this week. I did, one round of dailies on Oricon to include the weekly, and then I haven't been back there yet this week, which is different for me. But I've been doing a lot of ops. Most of them, you were there, but we did do a run on Thursday night with our Taco Harder group where we started out doing... We did a couple of bosses in hard mode TFB just for comms. And then we went over to hard mode Dread Fortress where we did the first boss there, which we had actually done before, but we got him down no problem this time. And then we went and worked on the second boss and we actually got him down too. So I was happy with that.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I got to run with Taco Harder this week, which I don't... I switch out if Wags can go. I sit out, so I did.
Yes. You and Wags together make one ops member.
Yeah, we're both bounty hunters. We're both mercenaries.
You're interchangeable.
We are pretty interchangeable. I'm expendable. Anything else?
Well, let's see. We had our Tuesday night hard mode night, so we actually did hard modes on Tuesday night because some weeks we do special things or if there's new areas we go poking around in there. But we ran hard modes on Tuesday night. I actually got the weekly done on my sorceress who had two hard modes done already from some who knows when, months ago, right? So did the third one on her and then switched to my other, to an alt and did two more. So now she'll probably be two of three for a few months. But yeah, that was fun. We had a good time. And then, I think you're going to talk about the other ops we did with LOL.
So yeah, so my three ops nights this week were our Wednesday fun run with 16 man on Wednesdays that we always do. We had, 14 people out of the guild that were around. A couple pugs that we picked up this week were good guys. And
they
I
were...
keep forgetting to write down the names.
Oh, I didn't. So I got them.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we had three people pugging. Well, I don't have their names in front of me, but I put them on my friends list.
Okay.
They were really good, and for the first time on that fun run pug night, we got the last boss in Scum and Villainy down, which usually we get right up to his doorstep, and then we hit our end time. It's only a 2-hour ops,
Yeah, 2 hours, including the time it takes to fill in the extra slots. So we usually end up with something like 90 minutes.
Yeah, so we plowed through.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, plowing through Scum and Villainy. We did a good job. Got through the end boss. No problems. No, no wipes. Nobody pressing the wrong buttons at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then, as you said, Taco Harder, that was fun, getting a couple hard mode bosses down in Dread Fortress. And then on Sunday, we did all of Dread Fortress story mode. We plowed through that and then got through the first three bosses in story mode Dread Palace, which we had never seen before. And we pretty much, we one-shot the first two bosses, which I was pretty proud of. We were sort of on the fly checking out the mechanics. Makia did a quick look through on Dolphy or something and was telling us what to do. I liked that second boss a lot, where you're destroying the tiles underneath you. I thought that was pretty cool. And then the third boss, which is the go into the past, go into the future, do this, do that, look for the seed, plant the seed, defend the seed. Yeah. That took us a couple times to figure out.
Yeah, well, that's one where the description is a lot more complicated than what it really is. Just one group goes in and sees what's going to happen, and they tell the other group what's happening. And there's different things that they have to tell the other group. I mean, it's kind of...
Yeah, I think that our we just really worked together on that one. I know when I was listening to the explanation, I got like 30 seconds into it, and then my eyes just rolled back in my head, and I'm like, yeah, I'll follow somebody and heal them. That's what I got out of that.
Well, as soon as Maki got up to, well, in phase six, then you, everybody was like, what was the middle one?
it took him about 15 minutes to describe the fight. I'm like, yeah, okay.
And then the first time we went through it, we went, oh, that's how it works.
Exactly. I think it was the phase four, the second time you have to go in the past and future, and the future team has to tell the past team to do something. And we just sort of stood around. We were like DPSing the boss, and they were like, and he spits you out, and then he says your time has expired or whatever, and he kills everybody. And we're like, oh, I think we're doing it backwards on that one.
But that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that run.
Yeah, that's a great place, and limited trash. Now that we don't need legacy points, that's awesome.
Indeed. A little bit too much for the third boss, I thought.
A little too much?
Four mobs. Between like the third boss, I think it was a little, it's fine. I mean, it's okay. You can't have no trash. But.
Yeah, I like it. So you know what to expect. And I don't know what's through that last door, but there's a group in front of each door. It's not too bad. And then there's the group in the hallway, and then you do a boss, and that's pretty cool. And then finally, my Marauder, I was looking at the notes from last week. My Marauder was 48 last week. I did hit 55.
Nice.
And I'm gearing up my Marauder. I will probably take my Marauder to Scum and Villainy on Wednesday. I'm going to get a couple extra gear pieces. But I was listening to Corellian Run Radio this past week, and they came up with a turn which I really like, which I've done forever. It was one of their tips this week. They call it legacy smuggling, where you take mods out of a piece of gear, you stick it in legacy gear to pass it back and forth between different alts.
Yeah,
so I was able to, I like legacy smuggling. I was able to today take two pieces of Arcanian gear from my bounty hunter. No, three pieces of Arcanian and one piece of black market from my bounty hunter, chuck the mods into legacy gear, pass them over to my Marauder. So my Marauder now has four pieces of 69 mods all set to go. So I'll just fill in a couple more pieces, tack some augments, and I will be ready for any story mode. No problem.
Wait, you had three Arcanian pieces that would work for the Marauder on your bounty hunter?
Yeah, because we've been greeting on the tokens.
Oh, yeah.
So I had boots and a belt, and then I had maybe three boots, bracers, and a belt. And then I had, for some reason, I just had some black market pants, you know, the non-set bonus pants.
Right.
Also, that happened to have strength on them. I just randomly in inventory. So it must have been stuff that we've all just been greeting on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We don't have many strength wearers in our groups. So
that's true.
It was great.
Yeah, we don't have, we only have, well, last night, Sunday night we did. But yeah, typically we don't have any melee.
Yeah, Nine's running his Marauder for Lords of Light now, which is good. But that brings us to the news. And news this week.
Now, an Imperial News Network report on the disturbing activities of the Chevin conglomerate.
And as usual, it's not about the Chevin conglomerate. I wish it was about a different event, namely the Rek'Gul event, which I keep hearing people say that maybe it's coming up this week, maybe it's not, nobody knows. So we'll have to see what happens. Everybody's trying to keep their expectations in check, but I do hope that it shows up this week.
Yeah, I'd like to see it because I was actually in Japan when that event happened, so I missed the entire event.
But what we do have this week to talk about is patch 2.4.2. So another patch was announced. This is mostly a bug fix patch. We'll just breeze through it, and then we can get to the good stuff with Brew. But we did want to, I did pull out a couple bullet points. I know, Sima, you found a couple ones that are interesting. They did some of the usual type of bug fixing stuff. They fixed that annoying quick travel point amnesia on Oricon, where every time you go in there, you click that quick travel point and then it disappears and you have to click it every time.
Yeah, you could take the speeder anyway, but still, it was just weird.
And every time you'd click it and go, didn't I click this or did I not do it on this alt yet?
Exactly.
What is going on? They also made a bunch of minor corrections to scenery, to weird red squares showing up on a couple of the entrances, armor clipping, texture wrapping on faces and animation and text and art and matching up tooltips to abilities. One tooltip to ability where they matched up the ability to the tooltip was on the Bounty Hunter Rail Shot ability, which vents heat when you, is I think it's over superheated rail shot. It only vents 8 heat instead of 16, which is what it was always supposed to do. It was overdoing the venting heat and venting up to 16. So in theory, you could think of it as a tiny bit of a nerf. It's really just matching up the ability to the tooltip. Not most people for PvE are running Arsenal. So if you are doing Pyrotech for PvP or running a Pyrotech spec, you may run into that. Rail Shot isn't central to the rotation, though. It does need to be used as often as you can, but it's got a significant enough cooldown that I don't think that extra 8 heat's going to be changing much of anything for anybody.
Well, that's good to hear. And they are adding a ground effect to Grobfok in Dread Fortress. That was the guy with the giant pipe that, you know, if you didn't have him under the magnet when he went to hit the tank with the giant pipe, then he would hit the tank with a giant pipe. So I have mixed feelings because that was hilarious. I enjoyed that, watching Makia get hit with the giant pipe. But I guess that would make it easier to have the... I imagine it's a reticule that's going to show up on the ground under the magnet, so it'll be easier to drag him there.
Right.
We could have used that with Soa when he's on that bottom level.
Yeah, that's the one I thought of.
Yeah, when he had the twirling green thing that you were supposed to run away from, but the boss had to get him under.
Right, in the final phase, those pylons.
Seeing is always a hard part with tanking, being able to see your environments, part of the deal. But with my understanding in hard mode, that the pipe is a one-shot deal. So if you're not, don't have them lined up, if you don't have a cooldown ready, you're done. So
you're saying not so hilarious in hard mode.
Yeah, it's wipe in hard mode.
I think it was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, ye who jumps off of every possible high place and into every possible low place. Anyway, so some other things they fixed. The stop cheating you cheaters fixes. You can't skip Garge anymore in Eternity Vault. I never got a chance to try that out myself. And I can see the appeal of a really short Eternity Vault run, you know, for the weekly and get some comms. But clearly BioWare is saying there, you know, yeah, this is not what we intended, that you could run around a boss, so you can't do that anymore. There's also apparently one area in an arena where you could jump up to one of the spawn areas and Max, do you know what that was all about?
Yeah, there was just some pipes that people could jump on to get to one of the spawn areas, which is unfair and not very useful and shouldn't be doing it anyway. So,
I mean, like you could get to the other side spawn area, or you could get early to your spawn. Okay.
Or so you could sort of get back up where you're not supposed to be able to get without jumping. And then if people are trying to kill you, then you're up in a difficult to reach position and raining down hell.
Stop cheating, you cheating cheaters. And then the last one there in this category is, I guess there were some spots on Oricon where you could stand and shoot mobs with impunity because they could not shoot you back. And I guess they fixed those. Well, we shall see. If there's any out there, I'm sure people will find them.
Yeah, we'll get to the other ones they did on Oricon too, but it seems like they tuned up a couple of things there. One of the ones I noticed, another note out of these patch notes that I thought was interesting, is they moved the rating requirement from all PvP gear. I don't know if this also includes the crafted gear. It may. I know I had to, on my bounty hunter, grind up to Valor level 70 because I crafted some war hero gear that I liked the look of. I needed Valor level 70 to even wear that gear. I had Valor 82 on my trooper, so I got all the way to Valor 70 on my bounty hunter just so I could wear that gear. I'm not crying if they remove that requirement, because then I'll actually be able to use that war hero gear in more places. But that's interesting.
Or maybe you could like travel back in time and get that time back.
Right. Get that. Oh my. Damn it, BioWare. I want those days of my life back.
I want the time refunded.
They also fixed whatever they broke in making it too hard or making it problematic to buy the guild bank unlock for your ship. So it wasn't a problem having it. It was just a problem buying it. Now you can buy it again.
And also it looks like they did a few tweaks to the daily areas in Oricon to make them a little bit less hectic. They removed one of the elites from that area on the way up to the tower that's in the center of the zone. There's that ramp area and then that tunnel, and there's an elite right there on the ramp, and then there's an elite in the tunnel. They're taking out the one in the tunnel, which is fine with me. I mean, he was kind of useless anyway. He's standing right next to another elite, so it's just take you that much longer to get through that area. But they're also spreading out the groups a little bit in that heroic area. So it didn't sound like they were removing necessarily groups, but they said there'd be more space between them. So maybe they are removing some. And there is one group in particular that they are removing, which is near that launch commander, who's the bonus quest that you can get in there where you use your macro binoculars to scan the various things up on the wall. And then you pull the commander out of his shipping crate and kill him. I guess that'll be less complex. You don't have to worry about that one pack of mobs spawning while you're killing the champ. So that's probably a good change.
My encounter with trying to run that as a group is if you're not disciplined and really stay together, you can very quickly just get separated and have all kinds of mobs on you. And just, it was, so yeah, it needed to be thinned out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I can see an that. Interesting area. I've soloed that heroic area a couple times, and for better or for worse, I find it easier to solo than to do with a group.
Yeah, because you can control where you're going, and it's easy for, especially for me with being on the stealth and what have you. I just pop up, kill what I need, and get out.
Yeah, with a group, there's a lot of moving parts. With a two person group, it's very manageable. With a four person group, there's been so much that we've pulled. But, you know, fighting three packs of seven or eight mobs at a time. And it was quite interesting.
Yeah, well, because you're just having fun and you're not really thinking about it. And to keep that from happening, you have to be pretty disciplined. And you're just not, for running heroics, you don't want to be running, heroic raid type control
discipline.
Interaction.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
When you're just,
that's a good point.
And finally, in our news, to wrap it up, our SUP ops team still has a couple open spots. You can find that note on our forums or give us a shout out in game and we can get you connected up with Arvashet. I think he's looking to fill in still a couple more. we've got people that sort of shift in and out of those spots, but we would like to get that team self-sufficient on their own. So we would love to have people in there. I think he could use probably, I think one of each class, if people are still available or interested.
Yeah, he's a good guy and real fun guy to run with.
Yeah, that's a good team. And that leads us to our segment for this week, which is a holocron on the foundation for tanking.
Deep in the ancient, monster-infested tomb of Marka Ragnos, there is a holocron filled with dark secrets and encased in a great stone monument.
So, Brew, I understand you have been down in this monster-infested cave exploring this holocron for quite some time.
Yeah,
you've tanked in many games, right?
Yeah, I've in-game tanked in WoW and in Tor, and then I've done some in a little bit in Secret World and a couple other MMOs, but mainly in WoW and in Tor. So, and that's been my main playing styles for about 4 years now.
Excellent.
So just a lot of people kind of, you know, it's kind of a small community, the people that tank, and so people kind of see a lot of mystery to it, but it's... just go over kind of the basic things you need to worry about, and what kind of what you're doing when you're tanking versus what you're DPSing doing or what you're doing when you're healing. And the main things you got to look at is threat, positioning, and survival. And that's kind of the 101 part of it. And just explanation on threat is every mob has a threat table, and it's based on how much damage you're doing, how close you are to the mob, and a couple other figures. And so your responsibility is to get in there and get his attention and keep him pissed off at you. And it's critical to hold that, because that feeds into the second point, which is positioning. So the ways you hit threat is that, like, especially at the beginning of a fight, you want to get as big a lead as you can. So maybe if you have an offensive cooldown, you'll pop that. And then so you get a little damage boost. I do that for my assassin. I pop my overcharge saber, and that kind of gets everything rolling, and hopefully Max won't pull off of me, but he does often. and also taunt. And depending on the fight, if there's not a taunt mechanic in the game, in the fight, then you should be taunting on cooldown. And just I think it's 9 seconds, you should be hitting your taunt button to just keep that threat going. But after a little, after, I'd say it differs by the fight, but after, 10, 20 seconds, you should have a good enough lead that threat becomes not an issue. And the reason you're worried about threat is for positioning. A lot of fights there's some common mechanics, like a cleave is a common mechanic. So it's when you say cleave, that means that basically the mob does a lot of damage to anything that's in front of him. And so that can be different areas. Some of them are really tight, and some of them be, maybe 180 degrees in front of them. And so you want to get him, and you want to turn him away from everybody. And you do that for two reasons. One is so that, again, you get the cleave away, but also you want to turn him so that you can watch everybody else. And especially when you're doing flashpoints, because you want to, so if there's ads or something like that coming in, you'll see them go by you and start hitting on you start munching on your healer. And you want to, and so you can grab them off of your healer. And again, with the threat and positioning, the key thing there is you want to keep your healers clean as much as you can. If your healers get pounded on, they're not going to be healing you. DPS is kind of secondary. You prioritize it. So it's first you keep them off your healers, and then second is you keep them off your DPS.
If there's some jackass bounty hunter that keeps pulling off you, you can just
can
let him first tank some mob for a while.
You don't have a built-in threat meter, so I understand that. It's hard to, and it can be frustrating sometimes when there's taunt mechanics in the fight, and there's threat mechanics in the fight, and we don't have any way to see where we're sitting on the threat meter. The first boss in Terror from Beyond is on hard mode. If you don't have threat right on that boss, it's a one shot for the tank. Whoever gets the egg sack put on them, if it's not the tank and not at the right time. And then the kind of third thing is just your survival moves. I mean, every tank has a tank class has a design. You want to look at, you know, you want to know what your rotation should be and what the things you're doing to survive. You, there's a lot of your abilities will either generate a shield or generate a heal. And then the other things is that you have is a cooldown. And again, some people just on the nomenclature, cooldown is any ability that, you know, only can only be used every so many minutes. So most of the tanks have two or three. Some of them have more. On the assassin only has two real big ones. Everybody has like a big, you know, 50% reduction kind of for, you know, for 10, 12 seconds. That's on like a 2 minute cooldown or so. And then you typically have a short one. And you want it as your, you know, you can use those in two different ways depending on the fight. And it can be your get out of jail free card, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you pulled more than you thought, or your healers get interrupted. You know, you pop your cooldown just to give them some breathing room to get you back up to health. The other thing you use that for is on some fights, there's a mechanic that the boss will have that will kill you if you don't use a cooldown. It's an, you know, it'll be a one shot if you don't have something else rolling.
Like pulling a giant pipe out of his butt and yeah. smacking
yeah, yeah. giant pipe, and you don't have him lined up right, and he's going to kill you. So, but if you pop a, you know, you pop a cooldown, then maybe you'll live through it. The boss in that council fight, second last fight in Scum and Villainy, there's the guy that the tank has to kite. Yeah, depending on how you do the fight, he has an execute ability, and so you've got, you know, so you've, you know, typically you got two cooldowns, so you got to sit on your cooldowns until you get to that point, and then you, you know, you can survive one, and then you survive the other, and hopefully the DPS has got him down before he does the third one, or else well, it's all over. So those are kind of the basic things. There is establishing your threat lead. You know, positioning him away from, you know, pointing away from the DPS and in the heals. A lot of fights will require, you know, you got to move him over this point or this look, you know, different locations. Moving a boss is kind of a learned skill. Basically, you know, the boss has a hitbox, and you've got to move out of the hitbox to get him to move. So if you're standing right next to him and you've got to move far away so you get out of the range of his abilities. And then that'll move him. And then just like trying to pull something on a rope, you can pull it on a rope, but you can't push it on a rope. And so that's one of the challenges of tanking is moving those bosses around. And actually in Tor, you can kind of do some tricks where you can just move back and forth. You move forward and backwards, and that will sometimes get him to kind of push a little bit and line up for you. In other games, you can only pull. Some you can kind of jig it a little bit and get him to line up quite, you know, right for you.
What I've noticed exactly. about that by watching you guys is that some bosses have abilities too, where once they start one, if it's channeled or it's a long cast or whatever, that they aren't going to move during that. Right. So you have to time it so you've got them and you got them where you want them before they start that. Or
correct. There's a lot of. A lot of bosses where you've got to get them in position before that you get to that point.
A simple example of that is that flashpoint for CZ-198. This is a simple example of that where you need the boss positioned over the storm generator, and that because then when he does his pound, which is a channeled ability, he's over the storm generator. Yeah. If he starts his pound before that, then you've wasted that.
You got to eat the damage from it, and you've wasted the pound, and you're gonna have to take more AoE damage and everything else if you don't have them spotted in time. So, and then the other thing is you need to, you know, especially when you're pushing heroic content, you need your DPS to be able to pound as much as they can. And so you've got to keep that, you know, you've got to be working hard to keep your threat up there so they can shoot them as hard as you can. And that's kind of the next level after you get past threat positioning and survival is pumping out DPS. And the tank DPS is not insignificant. You're one of the few people that are on the boss all the time, especially if you're main tanking an encounter. So it's you want to be, you know, this. It's kind of, again, it's the next level. You know, after you've figured out your threat and positioning, now you're just starting to do, you know, use your DPS abilities. For example, on my assassin, you know, I start using my thrash and as much as I can so I can proc maul, get maul proc so I can, you know, and just, you know, and really focus on that. And that's kind of after I've got the fight figured out, I know where he needs to be. I know what ability he's doing. I know where my force level is. And then you start, you know, but you, now I'm going to try to do as much damage to help out the raid and to beat the enraged timer.
Which makes sense. You start getting into hard mode and nightmare modes. That damage from the tanks and sometimes even having healers drop a dot becomes really important.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen it, you know, wipes at, you know, 20K or 10K, you know, left on the boss, and, you know, one or two mauls could be the difference in that boss going down. I mean, I hit a maul, a non-crit maul is like 3K for me, you know, so a crit might be, you know, 6 or 7.
Now, I know your main is an assassin tank for our Lord's Light team. I know in 2.5, there's changes to the assassin tank, and what they're doing is they're changing some of the current abilities, which do a health, they add to your health and instead are adding to mitigation in order to avoid spike damage. Are you predicting that that's going to be, I figured it'd be good. I would, you know, because we don't like the spike damage. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to change. We'll see if it goes live. It's interesting. It's going to basically, when you do a wither and shock right now, you build up what's called Harness Darkness. And the way the design is now, when you build up 3 stacks of Harness Darkness, you channel your Force Lightning and that heals you. And it's not insignificant. It's like, I think I'm getting about almost 760, 780 per tick. And it ticks for, I think, 3 or 6 seconds. I can't remember. 6 seconds. So, I mean, that's a significant amount of healing, and that's a big part of our design. We're a very active mitigation tank. So now I think my understanding, what I've read, is that you'll just build up that ability, which will naturally happen once you pump, you know, you've done wither and shock total three times. It'll stack up, which I think the stack is going to be max of 3, and then it's just going to be additional armor. They're also increasing the amount of armor you get from Dark Charge, which is your basic stance. So we're going to have a lot more mitigation, and I've read some stuff where they're saying that we'll have 10% more mitigation than the next closest tank, which is the Power Techs, which again, for heroic progression and for story mode progression, that's not as critical, but for the guys that are going nightmare modes, I mean, they won't bring any other tank. So we need to see, we'll see how that ends up running, but it's going to completely change the flavor of the tank. It's instead of being kind of a self heal, almost analogous to to a Death Knight in some ways, he's going to be much more of a kind of a standard, kind of bash kind of face, but we've seen that a few times, like Seema, you could speak a little bit to that. The big Rhino boss in Scum and Villainy. He can hit me pretty hard if I'm main tanking him.
Right. And I'm thinking also of Titan 6 when he's got you pinned in the ground.
Oh, yeah. Because then you can't do it. That's true. That's another. Yeah. There are mechanics that make it really hard for assassin tanks. Yeah. With Titan 6 in hard mode, he pounds you into the ground and you can't do anything. So now I've got active mitigation. I'm stunned. And of course, you know, you're stunned and your stun break doesn't work. That's always one of my favorite things, but you can't use your Dark Ward. You can't, you know, do anything at all to help yourself out. And you just have to sit there and take it and hope that because some of his timings can be off, and, you know, hope that you don't get whatever it is, the round of missiles that go off while you're still stunned, because there's nothing you can do about it there.
Yeah, it's called like a crap ton of missiles or something like that.
Right.
I love some of those names.
So my question is, do you think you'll be casting Force Lightning less then because it doesn't have the healing part? Or will you still need to cast it for the mitigation part? Or will the mitigation just stay once you build it?
I think the mitigation is just coming from the Harness Darkness, so I don't think we'll be channeling anything anymore. The only question is what the force generation will look like, because it is a force. You know, you get more force while you're channeling it, but we get force when we're hit. And so in a raid environment, I'm never force starved. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can sit there and thrash all I want and proc mauls. If I've got shock or a wither knot on cooldown. But if I've got, right now I wait for an opportunity when I know I'm going to be able to get off that cast of the Force Lightning. And when I do, I pop it as soon as I get three stacks. And like I said, I'm generating, a fairly good amount of healing when I do that. But everything, wither pop gives me healing. Everything, a lot of my other, your base activities, heals you. Thrash heals me, a lot of different things heal me. So it's also going to change things for soloing, which is going to be, we'll see.
Cool. Well, I love, I've done tanking too, but I'm very happy to have you and Makia leading the way as far as how our ops teams are going lately. So I'm happy that you guys know what you're doing. Cause then I can just
pew pew
and just get yelled at when I pull aggro off of you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a kind of that personality for it. But the biggest thing is just jump in and do it. People kind of get a little bit timid of it. Just jump in, and learn how to do it. And it's no big deal. It's no difference than having a DPS or heal or what have you. It's just a different play style.
Well, the thing that seems very different to me about the tanking role and everybody else's role is, yes, everyone needs to be aware of their surroundings and what's going on. But it just seems like the tank has to see just that much more, because you have to see not only the effects and not only the boss and not only the adds, but where they're going and who they're going to. It just seems like a lot to me. I mean, how do you build towards a point where you can just see everything?
Yeah, it will just, the encounters start to slow down as you learn them. You start anticipating what's going to happen. You're anticipating the damage spikes and things like that. You just learn the fights. There's pressure, if you screw up, it's over, and you kind of have to kind of revel in that, that you have the responsibility of, if I don't, there's a lot of things that you can do to wipe the raid. So, you kind of have to embrace that. But yeah, I think you just, over time, you learn the fight and everything starts to slow down. I mean, I think it's same for everybody, but when you start out, think about the first hard mode of Boston's come villainy. I mean, we thought we'd never get that thing down, and it was all chaos in the beginning. It's the worst tank fight ever made.
Yeah. I'm not in love with that fight either.
No, eventually, we learned the fight and we one shot it most of the time. So.
Well, cool. Well, I think we are just about out of time here, but thanks a lot. I think this is a pretty cool dive into tanking. And I think we'll add it to our list. We've done healing, we've done tanking, and have we done DPS?
I don't know. Yes, we'll figure Max, it out. You did it.
And we've done DPS, so there you go. Well, our EPC 10 droid here is filled up, so we are ready to go. Thanks for listening. For comments or questions, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGrey and at AIESEMA. And also at BRUDOG, Brewdog, can be found on Twitter as well. Or drop in on Jedi Covenant, and you can find us there and come play. Our character names will be in the show notes if you want to catch up with us. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org or find us on Facebook or Google+ at AIE SWOTOR. And that wraps it up for us.
Good night,
Thanks,
everyone.
Guys.
Have a good night.
Trixie Ziki, yeah!